Good evening, everybody. How you doing? Good. I'm doing good, too. That was awesome, wasn't it? Good time to speak, singing, and give praises to the Lord. Amen? That was awesome. The enemy has been defeated, right? Death couldn't hold him down. The deal is over. And some of you walked in here tonight, and I think you think that maybe your deal is just a little bit worse than the next guy's. And you know what? It probably is for you. So let's just take this up right now where we need to. Let's just take this to the throne and get the business done with right now. We belong to the King. Amen? So let's go see him right now and get everything cleaned out and get going here, because some people want to share with you tonight some things God has done in their hearts this week. And I'm going to read a little passage for you before we get started, and we're just going to let them do it. So I pray you're blessed by this and encouraged and challenged by what you hear tonight, and that God just does a good work in all our lives. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you right now. We have an enemy that does not want us to succeed. He wants us to come in here with bitterness and strife and struggles and things and family problems. And Lord, right now, we're coming to you right now saying we are going to stand against that. In the power of the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that works in and through us daily, every moment by moment, to bring us who we need to be, to bring us that being that you've called us to be, Lord. And we don't even know what that is yet. But we ask right now for you to stand in the gap for us, for you to stand before us. And when he brings those charges, you would show those nail-scarred hands and show that we are free. We no longer have to live under this bondage. We are free to not sin anymore. We are free to serve you. And Father, tonight, we want to let go of everything. And right now, God, I just confess anything that I got in my heart, the stuff that's going on with me, the struggles of busyness, forgetting about you today, even not even acknowledging you sometimes, Lord. I just ask you to forgive me for that, Lord. And anything I brought in here tonight, Lord, I want to leave at the foot of the cross. I want to leave everything there tonight. I want to come back to you, Lord, asking you to deliver me, and to deliver us, and to bring this body as one to you tonight. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you've got your Bible too, turn to Deuteronomy 8. That's what it's all about tonight. I talked with Pastor Vaughn earlier this week, and we talked about possibly having some of the teens share. And so we're going to have them do that, and some of the adults that were there. We had quite a time with some of those guys too. Deuteronomy 8, I would really like you to look it up with me, because it is about remembering. And this is a powerful verse, but more than this, it's, you'll see where I'm going with it in just a minute and what was going on. Some awesome things happened at the camp, just like they were happening here. So if you weren't at camp, let me dispel the stupid myth that you missed out. Man, you were where you were supposed to be, because in my mind, God's busy everywhere. I talked to my son in Afghanistan, and I talked to people down the street, and you know what? He's busy. I mean, Jeremy's over there doing some worship with a worship team, going through his own struggles, and over here, we're out at our camp in the middle of the night on the dew-filled grass, crying out to God, and here at Liberty, while we were gone last week, and things going, God was moving here, and this week in your lives, and at work, and at play, when you were with your friends, God was moving, amen? But we do something that everybody else does. We forget. We forget. Read with me, if you will. Deuteronomy 8. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land, which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. Now pay attention. And you shall, and the word is remember. You all see that word? And you shall. That's not an optional thing. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. 40 years they must remember. That's a big journal. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God, and I want to get that through your head, and you remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, listen to me, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. I want you to get that last part, that he would humble you and he would test you to know what was in your heart. I believe God is asking us, and I know this for me and my family and for many that I know, he's saying, remember. Remember, Tim, because the new land for them was a physical place. It was a piece of property across the Jordan and even on the other side of the Jordan where all the different tribes settled. And he was saying, remember and remember. And I, as I read this, I've been stuck in Deuteronomy for a while. He's constantly saying, remember. And in chapter 4 in Deuteronomy, he says, it's kind of, I almost think like he's saying, I'm the big God. They need to know that. It's almost like you think God is bragging here for a minute. But he's saying, I'm telling you to remember this so that when you go into the land, you won't forget me and start following their idols. Gang, we need to remember things that happened in our lives. We need to remember tonight. Remember the things that God did. For me, I got to get down on my knees back there for a little bit, and I got to remember. I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to jot that down somewhere. I'm going to remember. Tonight, I want you to remember what you hear. And tonight, I want you to remember what God did in your life tonight. And if you came here expecting to be entertained, you're in the wrong building. That's not why we're here tonight. We're here for one reason, and that's to honor Him tonight. Not here to honor what we did or what Tim did at camp or what the kids said or what the cool stuff is. Listen, I want you to listen to God's voice speaking out of some of these young people when they share and some of the adults. Things happened there that were really awesome. Things happened here. I think it would be awesome if we could stand up and share regularly here. It would be really cool, but we'd never get to hear some good preaching. So, which we need that. But listen, I think we need to encourage one another to remember. Let me tell you why. Because there's going to come a day when He's going to humble you, and He's going to test you, and He's going to ask you, did you remember when I pulled you out of that horrible situation? Did you remember when I healed you that week at the ranch? Did you remember when I touched your mom's heart? Did you remember when I saved your son? Did you remember when I taught your daughter how to come out of that mess? Did you remember how I stopped you from breaking up your marriage? Do you remember those things? And He's going to humble you, and He's going to test you. He said, because I want to know, listen to me, I want to know what's in your heart. That's what God waited 40 years to ask the Israelites. It's right there in the last verse here. And listen to that. Testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. Hey, tonight, let's remember what God has done. I'd like everybody to just take a moment and just take a moment of reflection where you are. And think back on something that God has done in you, and it was just something mighty. Okay, you got it? Take a moment. All right, if you have something like that, just raise your hand. Something that you can remember, what God just did a work in your life. You've remembered. Most of us here can. Some of us can't. You guys that remember that, you've probably cataloged that or run that down or done something with that. Tonight, all we want to do is what we remembered for the last 6 days at our camp last week. And we want to talk about those a little bit so that you can remember with us. And you know what else we need you to do? We need to hold each other accountable. I think it's really important that we do that. My heart tonight for you guys is to just to see what God is doing and not us. Because it's not about me. It's not about our thing or what we did at camp. It's about what God was doing. And I got to tell you something. He was busy at El Shaddai Ranch last week. Amen. Amen. And it was good. So listen, I'm just going to do this. Guys, there's a mic right here. Let's keep it kind of short because I think quite a few of you want to share. So whoever wants to come first, just come on up and share. And let's get it rolling. All right? Go. I got a front row of dudes standing up here. So who's going to come? Anybody? All right, that's what I thought. I'd get somebody. Of course, I promised him like $20 if he'd start out.
All right, so this is what God did to me this week. Everybody probably has different stuff. I need to go up here so I can put this on here. And this looks so cool. But this week, the mystery was the mystery made known, and I read in my devotion, I read James 1:12 was one of the verses that jumped out at me, and that one says, James 1:12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And that one's just really cool because this week, one of the big things to me was Dad had us give up, had us let go of things that were in our way of God and things that we needed God to take over. Mine, it wasn't so much letting go of something, it was giving it over to God so He could control it. It was my passion, and my passion is praising God, just in musical form, worship, as we call it. That's my passion, and I had to give that up to God, not so much that I had to stop doing it, just that I had to let God be in control of my worship. But it's okay, I know, because, Ephesians, I think it is, or Philippians was our main verse for the week. Colossians, okay. That too. One of the parts it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that's on my shirt too. I know it's okay because Christ is in me, and he's my hope of glory, you know. I can let go of all my earthly desires and everything that I want to hold on to, but if it's not in God's hands, it's not being used for what God gave it to me for. So that's what I got out of camp this week.
Hi. This past week, it wasn't so much like God did like crazy stuff in me, but what he did with my campers. So this year I was a counselor and I had like tons of girls. I was really surprised. I got there expecting like 3 or 4 girls and had like 8 or 10 or something. I don't know. And I was kind of like, oh boy, this is going to be a long week. And I went into camp and I was really worried. I'd shared with a couple friends before that I was like, oh, you know, every year camp comes around and I'm like, yes, camp is here, and I'm counting down the days. And this year it was like, oh, camp's coming. Oh boy. You know, I was kind of like worried about like, I don't know. I was just worried about the whole week and just about different things that God was doing in me already. And I felt so inadequate, you know, for the whole week. And I felt like God couldn't use me or something like that. So God did some really cool things in my girls. One of them got saved, and it was really crazy because she's been to camp, this was her third year, and every year she's prayed the prayer, you know, and got saved every year. Yeah, this was third time around, you know, third time's charm. But we do. So when we tell you how many kids got saved at camp, if it's like their third or fourth time, we still give you that number too. But we had the cross service on Friday night. And she's 12 or 13, I think. So she's really young. And we had this cross service. And what we did was Tim kind of gave us a call. He called a bunch of us out. You know, those of us who thought that we might have a life of ministry ahead of us. And a bunch of different things. He called us out on a bunch of different things. And there was a point where I don't even actually remember how it happened or what exactly Tim said, but we all just turned around. And for those of you who haven't been out to El Shaddai, there's like the amphitheater where the speaker is and the microphone and the worship band plays. And then directly ahead of that is like this huge cross. And the night before that, or maybe it was the night before that, maybe it was Wednesday or Thursday, I don't know, we had nailed up a bunch of red pieces of paper with names of people onto that cross. And they were people that we needed to reach and things like that. So we had nailed that up there. I hadn't nailed anybody up there because I was talking to someone during that meeting. But so during the cross service, we played this song by Hillsong. It's called Lead Me to the Cross. And the lyrics are, lead me to the cross where your love's poured out. Bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down. And I we all turned to face the cross, and it was just like, it was dead quiet, and it was like crazy, because then all of a sudden, all 60, 70 kids, it just happened like that. We were on our knees, and we were just worshiping. No one was singing. We were all too like dumbstruck to sing. And I looked up after, like, I cried for like 20 minutes, and then after that, I looked up, and one of my girls, this girl, she was up at the very front of the cross. She was just holding on to it. And she was just weeping uncontrollably. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I went up there and I just held her. And she was just shaking. She could not stop crying. And, you know, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on. I wasn't sure if she was upset about something specific or if she was just giving everything over to the Lord or what. And I just held her and I just prayed for her. I didn't pray out loud. I just let her cry. And she cried and she cried. And she finally calmed down and she said, I don't deserve this. She said, I don't deserve this. She said, what he did is so incredible. The word she kept on using was incredible. And she said, I finally understand it, Hannah. I finally understand it. She said, I know God is real now. I know he's real because he did this. You know, and she was just like, I can't believe he did this. She was just so awestruck by what God had done. And she said, I've never, ever, ever known God like this before. And so it was really awesome. I talked to her a little bit more later, and, you know, basically what happened was, you know, the whole, like, head knowledge, it went from head to heart, and it became real to her. It became really real to her, and it wasn't just, oh, yeah, I believe in God, like you believe in George Washington, but she really grasped it, and it became her own faith, you know, and she just, I think there was one point when we were all down there, and Josiah, I just talked about you, Josiah, he said, we're not worthy, and she, at that point, that was like right when I looked up at her, and she had just fallen to her knees. But it was just a really amazing thing to see her just completely give everything over to the Lord that night. And so that was really cool. The other thing I wanted to share with you was the rest of my girls, it wasn't like anything huge happened in their lives, not that they shared with me. I know God did a lot of sanctifying of them. Like a bunch of them were like, yeah, I'm not going to be listening to that kind of music anymore. I'm not going to be doing this anymore. And so that was really cool. But when we went around, Travis Parker spoke on the family, I think Wednesday night. And my girls, I talked to them on Thursday night. And the biggest thing this year at camp was family. And I kid you not, it was family. The biggest thing that everyone was struggling with was their family. The biggest thing that so many of my campers and so many other people had to let go of was bitterness towards a parent or a sibling or someone who had hurt them in their family. And I mean, I can't even, parents, you know, that are sitting in this room, I can't even express to you just, I can't express to you enough, just pour into your kids, because some of the girls I had don't have that. And it was so hard to see them, you know, like, I thank God for my parents, and I just want to encourage you, don't stop pouring into your kids, even when you think they're okay, keep on pouring into them, because the biggest thing, even my team, like, we split up into, like, four teams, my team, everyone in that first circle said family was the biggest issue for them that week, except for me, but, and two other people. No, and two other people didn't. Two other people, I think us other three said that, like, music was a big deal or something, I don't know, but, it was just, overwhelmed me how many kids came in and wanted God to restore their families and were just bleeding and begging for God to restore broken relationships there. So I just really wanted to encourage you guys that, especially the parents, don't stop pouring into us because we really need it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go real quickly over the week so you can know, and this may spur a few of them on. Monday morning, we came in and we did just a basic gospel message early in the morning. Monday night, we shared a commitment time, and they went out and they went on the hill. There's a place, like Hannah said, up back here where they will pray, and they get lost in the dark, go up there, and they just go meet with God, laid down a lot of things, and then we grabbed things up for help them building altars during the week. I won't go into too much of that. Tuesday, we did separation from the world. We had another call of getting out and getting away and grabbing things and releasing things, basically coming out. And we talked about the road less traveled. We walked out onto to El Shaddai Ranch, out to the road. We walked all the way down to the field. And I pointed, that road leads to everything you want, everything you need. You think that you've got to have. It's the world. It's the best they've got to offer. It's right down that road. And anybody wants to go down it, go down it. I just want to tell you, one of the guys, he's not here tonight, said to me, I almost dropped everything I had and started running down that road because I just did not want to go back. And the road less traveled was the one that led back up to the ranch where we had to meet with God. And this kid shared with me that the next day. Everybody was to pick up a rock, take that rock, and then later on say, what is this thing that's holding you back from God? And we worked on the vertical relationship versus the horizontal. Now, I'm going real fast. Horizontal, you see the horizon. If you've been on a ship, been at sea, I have. You can see the horizon. You really can't see the curvature of the earth. You think you can, but it looks like it. And it's huge, it's flat. You can only see so far, however high you are. Vertical is totally different. You can see. I mean, we still look up and we see stars that are still appearing in our universe as light comes to us. A lot of times we have this block, and that's what it's about. This block is this thing where you've got something that's got you and got a hold of you. So they did that Tuesday night. And then Travis spoke on family Wednesday night, which you heard Hannah talk about, which was what you said, the most powerful time, because so many people are having such a struggle with the family today. There's no surprise with the struggles we're having. Thursday night, he spoke on having a burden for the lost, for people who didn't know Christ. And then Friday night, we had a thing called The Call, where we had a calling, where we were saying, call you and call the full-time ministry. And then we did this cross service, and I'm going to share this, and maybe this will spur the rest of you to come up. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I'm just going to tell you what I saw. I was up front. I finished the call part. I said, okay, we're going to the cross service. We moved pretty fast to it. The day before, I was looking at Brian. I said, we got to do a different cross service. Now, this cross is a telephone pole, cut in pieces, in one piece off the top, and it's got a huge mega bolt through it. The quick story is that Ryan had called to see if he could get a telephone pole so they could build a cross for a couple of rallies before this. And he said, oh, no, we don't give away telephone poles. He called the electric company. Well, the gal there's a Christian. I don't know how many days later, the electric company came out with a truck, a crew of unsaved guys, and said, we're here to put a cross up. Where do you want it at? Am I right, Rick? Is that pretty much it? So they put this monster stinking cross up. I mean, they got it in concrete. It's big as a telephone. It is a telephone pole. So I said, Brian, we got to put somebody on a cross. And he said, what? And I said, dude, that is way up there. And I'm not going to tell you who, but I'm saying we put this person on a cross. We went to the Friday night service. We had worked it out. I talked about the cross, and all week long I had been saying to them, that cross is empty. I'd point to it every night. That cross is empty because of you. And so many of the kids couldn't realize what I was saying until that night. And that night, the cross was full because Jesus, the guy portraying Jesus, was up there. When I turned around and I walked up the hill and I saw the light hit it, my knees buckled because the person on the cross was not the person. It was God saying something to me. This is what it's about. And I turned around. Anyway, I came back. Went back down and got set up. They showed the light. The kids turned around and saw the person on the cross. Then we went to the next phase, which is the redemptive part of, you know, he's off the cross and he's alive. Well, the person that was playing Jesus on the cross was supposed to come across the back of the cross in a white robe. Well, we missed the cues because I was off the mic and everything's there, and he didn't come out, but it was God's timing. He came out from the side over by the pavilion or the... the pavilion. He came out from that way, walking behind the cross. At the same time, somebody got up, and I want them to share with you later about it. They got up at that same exact time. I don't know who that is, but answer that phone, man, because I want to know who it is. Tell them I said hi. All right, so here's what happens. I get done, and I'm queuing it. Well, now the cross is empty. The person's off the cross. It comes off the cross. And I'm giving it exactly what Hannah said. I don't know what happened. I literally do not know what happened. I can tell you this. If you prayed for us this week, I'm telling you, last year, as bad as it was, I believe there were evil forces sitting all around camp last year, just doing everything could to destroy people, using kids, moms, dads, everybody, fights, the staff, everything. This year, it was that much opposite. I believe there was a holy fire around that ranch. There were forces of good all over the place. It was amazing. Ask everybody that was there last year and everybody was there this year. God was visiting, and I'm telling you, we know. I sensed it when I was there on day one with this unbelievable unity by Monday night with the teens and their counselors and leaders, and things started happening. When they turned around and looked at that cross, you could tell something was going on. It just stopped. We hadn't even started the music yet. It just, everything stopped, and everybody's looking. Nobody's moving anything. And I'm standing there, and I quit talking, and this one girl takes off up towards the cross. And at that time, this guy had started walking across. They couldn't see each other. This girl was just looking straight at the cross. And this is probably about, I don't know, 200-300 feet away. She got about halfway up the hill. And you guys, kids were kicking over chairs, running to the cross, and they hit an area around that cross where they collapsed. I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you, it looked like somebody threw them on the ground. It was as if God said, you come up here, you get on your face, I want to talk to you. I stayed down there while they were all up there. When they got up there, I kept saying, after about 45 minutes, I thought, okay, I'll call them back. So I said, okay, if you're done praying, come on back. Nobody moves. Fact is, a few guys had stayed there and had fallen on their faces in the area where we were up front there. So they got up and went up. I said for everybody to come back. And it was like, okay, this is going, you know, I guess I'll just, hey, just stay up there. It's Friday night. I don't care how long you stay there. So I call them back again. And it's like, okay, they're still not coming back. The third time is God's like, you're not getting this yet, are you? Go to the hill and see what's going on. I said, you know what? I'm done. Stay there. We're having team devotions, everything. Stay there. And nobody's listening to me. I mean, God's got this barrier of sound. I'm sure they never heard a word I said, you know. Dude, I walk up there, and I'm telling you, it's like this. I walked, and I don't want to get feedback, but I walked past this line of where the outside edge of the kids were. I mean, they were clustered in groups. And I'm not exaggerating when I say they were on their faces in that wet grass. They were crawling in the grass. They were down on their faces so hard. I have never heard such wailing and crying out to God in my life. Something happened up there. And I believe when the person was walking across behind, God was saying to me, and I believe it was honestly for me, it was in my heart, that God was saying, I am here. And I have drawn a line around my cross. Because you say, you look to the cross. You look to the cross. And one girl said, it's just some wood. And I said, yeah, it is until he touches it. Amen. And when he touched it, let me tell you, those kids, they're still, I'm telling you, kids are still talking about it. I'm still getting reports in. I wanted to give you a snapshot of the week. It ended like that. And I'm saying we were up there close to 2 hours. And even then, it was just the most, what do you call it? It was almost surreal. You couldn't believe what you were seeing, and you couldn't understand. And as Hannah said, we don't know what God was doing. We didn't take our little cards out and say, so, tell me something cool up at the Avenue at the Cross. We didn't do that. We just, you know what, God, this is your time, and we're going to leave it. And I was overcome by it. Uncle Brian was over here just wailing and praying with kids. Rick was here, and there were all the leaders from the camp up there praying with people. And the kids were throwing up prayers, and I know who Hannah was talking about, because this girl left, did not leave until the last leader left that cross. She's on her face just crying out to God, the girl that got saved. And it's amazing what God was doing. So that's how camp ended. It was absolutely, and still is in my mind, I will never forget this one. I will never forget this one. And what was cool was on that cross, while those kids were praying, some of the people they were praying for were getting saved that night, that were nailed up on that thing 2 nights before. It was amazing what God was doing. So that's kind of how camp went, what went on. But I tell you what I think I'd like to bring up next is we had a newcomer this year. We broke him in. And he broke in a few. Dan Benson was the rock this week. I mean, he was the man. So, he is a gentle giant. And dude, for the kids, I mean, this was like touching Godzilla, getting a marker and writing on his bald head. And they loved him, and Dan's heart got broken for these kids, and what happened with him and his boys was absolutely amazing. So, Dan, I'd like you to share, if you wouldn't mind, brother.
Yay! Thank you all. Let your heart out.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk. I think one of the biggest mistakes I made going to camp this week is I went paintballing with these kids. And going out there, I could hear them, oh, Mr. Benson's over here. And every time I pop my head up just to look at where they are, it's like, I wish I could take my shirt off and show you all the bruises that I have. I'm a mess, and you know, all I wore was a T-shirt, and I got hammered, and you know, Tim, and I said that as a point. Camp this week, last week, was a real war, and one of the things that I talked about is that we're in a battle, from the moment you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, we're in a war. We have a God who's already, we know what the outcome is going to be if we're faithful. He has defeated the enemy. It is a cleanup operation. But you know when you're getting close to those strongholds of the enemy is the fire gets intense. You know, when you're out in the periphery and the enemy's not around, there's not a lot of combat going on. There's not a lot of firing. But when you get closer, it gets intense. Well, last week was intense. And what was really cool was, as Tim said, there was a lot of victory. there was a lot of ups, there was a lot of downs, but there was also a lot of victory. And it was interesting, as soon as one good thing would happen, something bad would happen. And then you'd have to come back and you'd have to deal with it. And it was just really, really amazing. And again, I think the big thing to go back to is to see, especially with my guys, just them bond together, accept one another, kind of like a little brotherhood that built up. It was really cool, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Scott? Yeah.
They're flashing gang signs at each other.
You know. It was really a lot of fun to see the guys bond and to open up and to share and to deal with some of the struggles that they were dealing with. It's interesting, the ladies talked about, you know, as Hannah shared, that, you know, the ladies, the big things about relationships. Well, with guys, it was relationships that had to do with families. And again, you know, it's relationships. And, you know, the big thing, you know, our battle is, you know, we have our priorities and our commitments. We have our families, we have our wives, our husbands, our children, and our commitments to the Lord. And it made me think about Matthew 10, where Jesus said, you know, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And I think about conflict and how we have to put Christ first, even over the ones that we love, our close ones, our family members, our husbands, our wives, our children, our boyfriends, our girlfriends. Jesus has to come first. And you know, if there's something in my life that's hindering, you know, Tim talked about throwing a stone away, that's hindering, you know, that whatever's in your life, man, you got to cut that off. If it's hindering your relationship with the Lord, you got to cut it off. And I'll tell you what, that, you know, it's, we talked about that amongst the boys, and we had, you know, and this week here myself, for my own personal, I got to listen to my own words sometimes. And the real thing that had broken down to me was the scripture that came to me was in Isaiah, and I didn't bring my glasses with me, so. Oh yeah, I did. Did I? Psalms 51. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not lighten sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, that you will not despise. I saw a lot of brokenness that night. We ran up to the cross, and Tim doesn't know. What was interesting, he said that the timing was everything, and I was with the person that we got him up on the cross, and that was a struggle. Come to find out, this individual had fear of heights. And I says, oh no, I got a Jesus who doesn't want to get up on the cross. And then it was a struggle to get that person down and get changed and put him in the white robes and I'm like, okay, now when do we do this? and it was like again, the Lord just took over, and I said, I think this is the time, let's do it. And it was perfect, because as soon as that person started walking, as soon as he came up the top of that hill and started, the kids just started running up, and I could hear Tim saying, see, he's here. He's not on the cross, but the Lord is here. See him? He's here at the camp. And they just started running up to that hill. It was the most awesome, inspiring thing I ever saw in my life. And what was interesting, at that very moment, when this was going on, that between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, when this was going on, is when Shirley Maloney got healed. I talked to her specifically, and the timing, when the Lord was really moving, it was moving over the whole camp. And I have never seen anything so awesome in my life. We sat down, I went up there, and I started praying with a couple boys within minutes. I think every boy in that camp was up there together in one group, just all hands around each other, just pouring their hearts out to God. God dealing with them, with each one with a specific thing. Some of it not as bigger than others, but everyone was there, was on their face, and there wasn't a dry eye. You know, it's really good to see men cry. You know, I'm an emotional person. People who work with me know that I am. I think it's what made me a good football player. I'm an adrenaline freak. I can call up the emotions anytime I want to. And you see, Scott, see, he caught it. He knows. And it was a special week. The Lord really spoke to me. It was a humbling experience. To have these kids and be able to share with them and pray with them and to encourage them. I just saw my big role as, you know, not to tell them what to do, but just to encourage them as the God spoke to their heart, just to do the right thing. To have that broken and contrite heart before God in all things. As I told in my speech, you know, the devil likes to trip us up on the little stuff. You know, the devil is in the details. And it was really great to see there were incidences in the week where I had an opportunity on an individual basis to say, see, you got careless, you got spiritually arrogant, you didn't pay attention, and you got tripped up, and you didn't do the right thing. But not to beat the person down, but to encourage them and lift them up and, you know, go from here and learn. And that happened all week long. And that was really terrific. It was really humbling. It was really exciting. And the battle was on, man. It was just, you know, there was just so much conflict and there was so much inner battle in these kids. But to see the victory and Friday night, to see all that and to the overcoming was just absolutely amazing. It was one of the best weeks I've ever had in my entire life. It was almost as cool as the week as I got saved. And that's a cool story too. But I just praise the Lord for what has happened, and I'm just looking forward to what God's going to do this year.
Yeah, this is the crowd I'm waiting for. Don't even sit down. Just come on up. Bring them all up here. You want to bring the whole crew up? Might as well. You have no idea of the things that are going on. I'll just let this start be there. I don't know who wants to go first.
Joseph.
This is cool.
Yeah, Joseph. Hi. Well, camp was awesome this year, and I think this is like my first time speaking at church. I don't know why. I'm a nervous guy and emotional too, just like Mr. Benson. He's a policeman. So, well, camp was awesome this year, and I met a lot of kids. And well, the thing I really got out of it was the day after camp, I was on my mom's bed, and I was just praying about everything, and I could just, my mom's bed's probably soaking still, and I could just see I could just see God walking down, the blood he shared, and, well, I don't know, and I could just see him, everybody yelling at him, and I accepted Christ, and for the first time, I heard the voice of God, and it was just amazing. And, well, this ain't about it, but I used to complain all the time to my mom that I didn't want to go to church. I would fake being sick. I would fake doing everything. I was like, Mom, do we have to go? Yes, you do. My stomach hurts, but you got to go. It's church. But in this week, it was just, I was excited to go to church. I was like, I want to hear God's word. And Dave Vaughn. Yeah. And one of the biggest things, even though I accepted Christ, that's huge. And I was like, I thought I was awake, but I was asleep. But I got up. Everything was on fire. My bed, my Xbox, my music, my TV, and everything was just on fire. It was burning, and there, my door was right there. I opened the door, and I couldn't see. God wants to be first, everyone. Thank you.
I don't want to go after him. Wow. Sunday was amazing. When he came in the room, I was playing guitar, and he's like crying, and Mom and Dad are like, "Hey, Joseph wants to tell you something." And I'm like, "Okay." Well, before I say that, I just want to let you all know that Joseph and I were talking right before he went in his my parents' bedroom, and God spoke to him, and we were talking about issues at camp, and long story short, I thought he was going to come in here and talk about that, but it wasn't at all. He came in, and he's like, "I just want to let you know, I accepted Christ," and my mouth dropped. I'm like, "What?" Just because it was like completely different than what I expected. And at that moment, I'm going to stop, and I'll tell you, I'm going to go back to camp, because this is what God's been showing me. Honestly, I thought I wasn't going to get anything out of camp personally, just because I'm like, okay, I'm there for others. That's my focus. And that's not what God had at all for me. And I just want to say that Friday night, God really made himself clear for my direction. And a year ago, I had, when I was on the treadmill running, I was asking God, "God, show me what you want me to do with my life. Show me if you want me to be involved with ministry." And I closed my eyes, and God gave me a split second vision of this huge cross, okay, on the property of El Shaddai Ranch, on the same hill that cross is there today. And while I was running, and I'm like, "God, if you want me to, I want to lead people." And all of a sudden, I felt like a whole bunch, like, presence of like people behind me in my basement a year ago, and I had to open my eyes and look back and go, "Oh my gosh, am I alone in the basement right now?" Because it felt like there's people down there with me. But I just want to say that was a vision. And a week ago on Friday night, when Tim said, "Look at the cross," I looked at it. And God reminded me of the vision I had a year ago, and I looked at it, and God, I knew what to do. He wanted me to go to the cross, and I went, and all of a sudden, I was on my knees, and I felt people behind me, and it was just God. There's nothing else I can say, and he has made it so clear to me that what direction I should follow. And God is just... I was just in awe of what God has been doing in that week. And anyway, going back to when Joseph told me, I was actually writing down just my experience of the call that I wrote down. I just wrote some words. I don't have them with me, but I didn't really know we were sharing tonight. Anyway, I was writing my call down when he came in and told me what God called him to do and what his personal call to Christ. And it was just, I was like, wow. That's all I can say. Wow. God is just... he just is so there, and he's just, there's no other words to say. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, anyway.
I had asked Joseph, I got a call, I guess Kim Ward called our house today and said that we were going to share about camp, and I just encouraged Joseph that what he needed to say was really going to minister to the body, because I think for me, one of the verses I think God, after this week, one of the things that the verses that God gave me was Galatians 6:7. A man reap what he sows, and the one who sows to please his sinful nature from the nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, he will reap a harvest if he will not give up. And God used that in my heart this week because, you know, let's face it, being a parent is hard. And when you struggle and you persevere and you say, Lord, I know what I know, and I know that I want all my children to know you, you can't make the decision for them. You have to love them, teach them, and do the best we can. But it's really up to them. And it was really confirming to me that we need to not grow weary in anything that we're doing for the Lord. We're doing God's work. This is my vocation in life, to be a mother, take care of my children, and to serve Christ and to lead my children. And this is where God has me. And we can all grow weary and tired. And it was just such an uplifting thing in our home. We camped out in the boys' room, and we're all bawling tears, and we're all so excited and crying, and, you know. And I said, you know, Joseph was, like, concerned, like, well, you know, I thought I understood that before. And I said, we've been talking for the last several months about the voice of God. And I said, you know, when you hear God's voice, you'll know it. And there ain't no excuse. You'll know what you hear. And so I was just elated when he came to us and said, I heard God's voice. I heard it. I heard it. And it's so encouraging. So we shouldn't grow weary in doing good. I think the other thing that I wanted to say was I asked him if this was okay. My son Jesse portrayed Jesus on the cross. And I had gotten him all prepared, and him and I were just goofing off, getting him all ready for his being Jesus scene, you know. And I didn't think about it all that much. But then when he got up there and he was all settled, and then after Tim shared and when they put the spotlight on him, all of a sudden I felt like Mary. Mary, how could you do that? You know, I love my son. And it was like, how did you give him up? You know, and God spoke to me and he said, you know what? Constantly we need to give our children over to me. They're mine. And it was like, you know, here my kids are, you know, all getting all grown up, and they're changing and they're growing and they're going away to college and doing all these things. I have to give them to God. They're his. And it was like the Lord just really showed me through that visual that I can't do anything about that. They're his, and they belong to him. And for the first time, I understood Mary. It's like, you know, she must have been somebody really special that she could have given up Jesus, because I don't think I could have done that, you know. And it was just so overwhelming. It was like I saw Jesse, but I really didn't see him. It was just different, you know. It was just such a neat visual for me personally. And I didn't, like I said, I just wanted to ask Tim if that was okay that we said, you know, who it was, you know. And I think Jesse wants to share. Because God did great things with Jesse being up there, right?
Mom, I am Jesus. No. I guess I have to speak since I'm the only one in my family that wasn't going to get up here and speak. But God's been doing a lot in my heart and in my life the last couple of weeks. Tim asked me to portray Jesus. I think it was Monday or Tuesday at camp. And originally, I wasn't even going to be at camp until about pretty much the day before. He's just been really changing my heart and letting me see that living life is all about him. And it's not about me. It's not about the things that I want or the things that I need. It's about him. And it's not every day you get to play Jesus, really. I guess if you have long hair and a beard, all of a sudden you're classified as being like, oh, look, or maybe Jesus or something. But when I got up there after about 10 minutes of climbing a ladder, I'm really not that afraid of heights. So let you all know, I'm really not that afraid of it. But there's also a small little deer stand that I had to stand on that was my platform up this telephone pole, and it's kind of scary. So I got up there, and Tim, when he talks, he likes to talk a lot, if you know him at all, you know? And he didn't even know I was up there. So for about 25 minutes, I'm just hanging up on this cross like this, and it was freezing, and I'm out there half naked with ketchup and barbecue sauce just smeared all over me. It really is funny. It really is. But what impacted me this week at camp, there's a lot of things, but when I was just up there all by myself, no one saw me, no one knew me, no one even knew who it was the next day that it was me up there, and that was fine with me. Thanks for blowing it. But when I was up there alone, all by myself, and I looked down and I could see all the kids, and I could see Tim, and I could see just how Jesus, how he looks at us. He doesn't look at us from a cross. He doesn't look at us from there anymore because he is risen. He looks at us from heaven, and even though we all can't see him, he's there and he is watching us right now. He's here in this room. He's here in this place. And it's so powerful for me because for the first time in my life, I know that he's real and he's real to me. And if you let him and you give him your heart and your life, he can be real to you too. And that is what impacted me the most, is when I'm just up there portraying him. It was like, wow. I get to look down, and for a second, I get to almost kind of see as you see. And it was one of the most powerful things I have ever been able to experience. And it was just a great week and a great time. So whoever would like to be next.
I'm going to float up here because I want to put my Bible down. I'm not good at holding all this stuff. My Bible falls apart. Is this one on? No?
Yes.
Is it on? All right. I want to hold that. It was great. Camp was really good, like they said. Before I start, though, I do want to say something. When me and Brian, we have a lot of fun up there. And when we heard that Dan Benson was coming, and not just coming, but he was staying in the tent with the guys. I've been doing camp up there. This is our seventh year at El Shaddai, and then I was on staff with Tim for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and I've done camp for 10, 15 years. I'm thinking, oh, he's going to get ate alive. He's just going to get ate alive. But let me tell you something. You know, me and Brian, we were laughing about it, but very shortly, these boys, I just want to tell you, Dan, these boys, they loved you, and you put a lot into their lives. And I want to tell you, I could see it. I have never seen a person for their first year to come to camp and make such an impact, and you did really good. I just want to say the Lord really worked through you, and that's going to tie into what I was going to say, and matter of fact, it all kind of ties in. I didn't even know Gina was going to use that verse. We did our devotion this morning together, and I actually came on this verse this morning. The Lord showed this to me, and then she goes, oh yeah, she pulled out her thing, and the Lord showed me that last week or something, and so I'm going to read it again. It's Galatians 6, and I'm going to go ahead and read something here, because it really ties into what I was going to say. It's do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that part, do not give up, really stuck to me. As I was sharing with Tim and Brian, with other people, you know, you go through the desert through your life so many times, and you're looking, and we're a homeschool family. We've homeschooled our kids from the beginning. None of our kids have been into the government schools or any other schools. And if you're doing that, that's fine, but that's just my background. And my wife, I saw her so into these kids. And I just feel, I told Tim this, I feel like this week and this last month has been pay week. It's like you reap and you reap and you reap. And sometimes you're thinking, aren't we supposed to sow sometimes? And there's supposed to be a sowing part of this. And I really believe it, not just camp, but in a lot of other areas that there's been a lot of really good reaping. And obviously you heard my family share, which is just really awesome. And through camp, you can see how people's they're giving up their time and their lives, and they're reaping a blessing through that. For you homeschool families who, you know, you got little kids and you're going, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to make it? I mean, I have years in front of me. This week, Friday, we went to Lindenwood University and we enrolled Jesse into college. And there was times Gina was saying where Jesse was like, Mom, I'm never going to go to college. I'm never going to do this. This is too hard. I'm never. And here we are reaping. Finally, that day in this August, he's going to move out into the campus, which it really hit me at the work that my wife has put in a schooling that was the payday. Friday, it kind of came together. We realized all that work that went into this. He's going he's been to college for 2 years, but don't get me wrong, but when you go away, it seems different. And it will happen with the rest of my kids. The rallies at the ranch, if anyone came last night, you know, without me even saying that it was the largest rally we've ever had, and it was the lives were being changed. Who knows what God was doing through the great worship and the speaking. And it was funny because Brian and I were sitting there and we're looking at down the hill and we're thinking when we started the ranch, when we started that ministry, the rally was just this. It was a wooden stage that was very small and we had no electric. We went to Walmart and bought one of them yellow lights and hung it in a tree so that the speaker could read the Bible while he was up there. And we had a bonfire behind that so that you could have light and you'd be up there with a guitar. Now if you haven't been out there, we got this huge stage and lights, and there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on this, and we're just looking down at all the hard work that anybody here, if you've gone to a banquet, if you've given your finances, if you prayed for the ranch, if you've gotten involved in any way, this is what is reaping. You're reaping, you're sowing in. And I felt like last night at the rally, here it is again. I'm reaping this. I'm reaping this. And our church, we're about to enter a time where we're going to add another service, and everyone who grabs a hold of that plow and starts reaping for souls and stuff, there's going to be a day where all of your work and all of the things that you reap, you will sow that. And tonight, my family, I can't tell you how, I don't even know what to say. My son accepts Christ, and so much going on in my family. I just feel so blessed, and I just want to say that I'm honored to serve God with you. I'm honored to go and walk down this road with you called life, and to just be here at Liberty with you guys, and I'm very encouraged. What I'm really, really encouraged about, though, is that the future, what it's going to bring. Like Tim says, we need to remember the victories in God's life. We remember these nights. Remember this now, because I'm telling you that the hard times will come again. You know, we're up here giving this, and it's cool, and it's wonderful, but the enemy will come back at you. If you start wanting to win souls, the enemy will not let you just do that. You're going to have to really, really get into prayer. You're going to have fasting. You're going to have to just really put your mind onto God. Get free to allow Christ to work through you. It's not through our talents. I am the least talented person you guys probably know. And it's not through that. It's through what Christ can do through you. And I'm just so encouraged in camp and just everyone who lays their life down to really sacrifice and to just allow Christ to work through you. I'm just encouraged. So.
Give me back up, Steve. All right. I think Scotty wants to share real quick. We'll do this and add up here.
Hello? Oh. Okay. Hi, guys. I'm Scott Bernardo. Not a lot of you know me. A bunch of the youth knows me. I feel like before I say what Cam did to me, I give a little quick testimony about my life. I don't live in a Christian household, even though I wish I did. I was saved maybe a little over a year and a half ago. And growing with Christ and with like fellowship of Christ was like great, and I was like, yeah, you know, man of God, you know, I'll do all this and that and this and that. And like it was like Mr. Benson said, it's like you're on the battlefield, you're like in the battlefield from the time you wake up and from the time you go to sleep. And what I want to do, me, my cocky self, you know, football, wrestling, I want to get on the front line right now, and thinking that I'm okay, get out there, I get smacked right down, face down into the dirt. And couple months before I'm standing here now, I wasn't really in a good place, and because, well, really is no reason why I wasn't in a good place. It was just overwhelmed with stress and stuff. My friend passed away of 4 years, Taylor. And I felt like, why? Oh, what's the use now? It's like, you know, and, you know, I came to camp and I was like, you know, I'm just going to slide through here, you know. Yeah, I'm not really here for anybody else. I'm here for myself, but I'm still going to slide through. And that's kind of the attitude I had, like, the first night. And, like, I had it, like, the whole, like, first 2 days until Tuesday night when we went down and we walked down to the big field and we were talking about the two roads. And I'm standing there, and Tim's praying, and all of a sudden God speaks to me. He's like, well, Scott, there's things you need to give up. And I'm like, well, what's that? And, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe you're right. And, like, I'm going through all these things that, like, I love and, like, all, like, stuff like that, like, you know, my sports and my music. And he's like, you know, if I tell you to, you're going to give these things up. And I'm like, okay. And I was saying, okay, not just saying, okay, yeah, you know, not really, but okay, yeah, I was going to. And that's never happened to me before. And thinking I had such a strong faith before, you know, I was down in the dirt, I feel like as like people get broken, they come back with even a stronger faith. And I was definitely broken, and it was a really great thing for me. And I grabbed my rock and I held onto that rock for the rest of the night, and I couldn't wait to get rid of it. And we put it on, made little altars and whatnot, you know. And I thought that was like probably, I think the altar that we made when we gave up those things was better than the cross service that we did. Well, for me personally, because it was something me giving up, because what that was doing is it was blocking me from God. And I realized that that's something I didn't need. And, like, you know, kind of the mentality I have now with things is, like, I'm a little bit more humbler with things because, like, I say, like, if there's something, you know, I really want to do, but, like, God's like, don't do that, I think, well, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die if I don't do that. But if I don't have Christ, then if he's not in my heart, then I will die. And, I go to a government school. Thank you, Mr. Pfister. Yeah, I go to public school. It's kind of tough, but yeah, and that's kind of tough. And I feel like that, well, last year, you know, I was real into, like, you know, tell everybody about God, kind of going about it the wrong way completely. Everybody kind of, me losing friends from it. And I was like, I don't care because, you know, I have God, you know. You don't, oh well. And that's like the totally wrong way to go, so don't do that. I feel like when I go back to school, like, next year in the government school, I'm really going to strive more with, like, the friends closest to me, because those are the hardest friends to get to, and those are the friends that I need to get to the most, because they're the worst off of, like, all of, you know, my friends. But I feel like Christ is really moving in my life and a lot of my friends' lives, and I'm really excited about it. I don't know what he's going to do with me. I really don't care, because he's doing it, and there's nothing I can do. And seeing, like, what happened, like, with myself and, like, with other friends, like, at camp was, like, awesome. Like, it was fun in the sense, well, it wasn't fun in the sense that I didn't have that much fun, but it was fun in the sense that I'm not resisting God anymore from what I used to do. And, like, seeing, like, some of my friends that, you know, think they're okay, realizing that they're not okay, and hearing God's voice for maybe the first time at camp was really awesome, and I thought that was cool. And yeah, and pretty much, I don't know, it's a good thing, and that's about it.
Good, you're good. Yeah, it's cool.
Hey, I want to close here real quick and just share with you a couple things about it and have you do something for me. This is a card my wife gave me on Father's Day, and I'll just stay here. You can't really see it much, but it, just a picture. It's one of those mountain views. You're down in the valley, the lake, the foothills and the mountains. And this week, I used it at a camp 4 weeks ago today. I came back from, I finished a camp in Polo, Missouri. And it was a God had shared something with me to share with kids, and I want to share it with you real quick. You know, we talk about in the areas where we're at, well, we're in the green area right now. Everything's going well. We've got a nice, calm lake, and that's where we start the journey. And these things I talked with the kids, and we shared with them this week, was that the mountain is our job. It's a summit. There's a song called "By the Tree," and it's about climbing mountains halfway. Only having the idea that I'll climb this mountain halfway, and part of it is the struggle. Our sin, the struggles in our life, or maybe something that God is taking us to, some calls to ministry. Tonight, I would be remiss if I didn't give you guys a chance to understand what I feel like is one of the most important things right now going on in my life and others around you, is that we're on a climb. We're headed for a summit. Now, we have to decide some things here today. Are we looking at that mountain just to go halfway, or do we really want to go to the summit? Because if we're going to the summit, you start out in that nice green place. There's water. It's warm. It's good. You head into the foothills, and the elevation gets a little higher. We talked about that night about the sheep being scattered on the hills, and that God said over and over in Jeremiah 50 and many other places in the Scripture. By the way, I totally thought completely out of the Old Testament this last week. It's something that I have always been encouraged to do at both camps. It was amazing how these, quote, dumb kids couldn't grasp it. They grasped it just fine. They figured it out just fine. Totally. The gospel, everything, was out of the Old Testament. It's all there, gang. We got to know our history to know our future. And so listen, so God was moving. So we talked about going up that. And then we said, and when you get there, you've got to start leaving things. You can't even start the climb until you start dropping things. Every mountaineer will tell you. I've watched a lot of mountain climbing. I watch, you know, the specials on what they do and everything. Man, they only go up with the only gear they need. They take nothing else because it slows them down and weighs them down and could be the opportunity between life and death when they summit the death zone. Well, for many of us, I had a girl. She drew me a picture at camp, and she had all these mountains, and it was kind of a cartoon thing, and she put people on these mountains halfway up for me, and I was going to show it to the kids that night. I believe a lot of us have got some summits in our lives, some sin, some struggles, some burdens, some things God's calling us through. And we've got up that mountain about halfway and we said, you know what? I can't quite make this. I go down and start over. No, the only reason you can't make that is because you're carrying something you're not supposed to carry. Tonight, friends, I want to challenge you. If there's something in your life that's blocking this vertical relationship, he's not horizontal. Listen, it's here and there. And it's real easy to slide something in there. Or it could be your family. It could be some sin you're dealing with. It could be 100 different things, some idol. Joseph said it was some stuff. God showed him stuff. I don't know what it is. But when that gets in between you and God, there's a lack of communication. And that slows down all forward progress. Are you following me? Listen, we were not built just to go halfway up. We were built to summit these things in our lives. And you notice there's not one mountain. There are many. And many of us get tired going through this. My challenge to you tonight is that don't ever start on this journey to get rid of this thing in your life, or to go through this struggle, or to go to a call that God may have on your life. Don't ever go halfway. You go for the summit. You leave everything down. And what I suggest you do tonight is that if you've got stuff in your life that's holding you back or blocking your communication, you go find yourself a rock or something. And you put it in your hand, and you go find a place, and you build yourself a little altar. And you put it there, and you leave it there where it belongs, in God's hands. And you let it go. Altars are places of significance to remember significant events in your life. And some guys threw those things away, and other guys put them there to remind them of what God has done in their life. Whatever you want to do, do that. One thing that Chelsea didn't tell you, and I'll close with this. My title of the message on Friday night was Our Calling to Minister. I never got those words out. I mentioned, and I don't even remember exactly what, but I never said calling. And it was coming out of my mouth, and I couldn't, and I was like, this is your call, or something like that. I didn't say anything about calling, and I looked at my notes, and I was like, why did I just say that? Well, Chelsea can tell you why I said that a little bit later. because I come up with themes, all the guys, you know, the mystery, that's our big thing. The staff was asking me in the debrief, well, how do I come up with these names? I said, you know, I'll be sitting around drinking something or something. I don't feel good. And I was like, that looks good. I mean, I'm good with it. I'm not kidding. I'm just like, dude, where'd you get the mystery? I don't know. I like that verse. I like Colossians 1:27. I think it's cool. So make a good T-shirt. And I bet you I had three people tell me this wasn't about the mystery. Some did. They said this was about grace. Some said this is about the call. We should have named it this week. So next year, I'm not naming it at all. I'm just saying, this is the thing, and we'll make a name at the end of the week. But the truth is this. I want to challenge you with this. You are called. Everybody here is called to go out. Some of you are called to full-time ministry. And I want to challenge you tonight to quit running away from God. Take the block out of your way, because we need you. Because there are 100,000 Scots in the St. Louis area waiting for you to come to their door and say, hey, there's more to this life than what you know. And we need you guys. We need every one of you. Families, teens, adults, grandmas, grandpas. God's got a call on some of your lives, and some of you have been running for it since you were little kids. You know what? Quit climbing the mountain halfway. Put it away. I'm not going to go through the verses. I have them here. I have notes on it. I have a lot of verses on this. And I'll tell you this. We were not built to go halfway up this mountain. You will not survive. You will keep falling down. Let's pray real quick. David, did you want to come up and close up? Yeah, I'm going to let David close here, but I want to thank you guys for letting the kids speak and letting us share with you tonight. So we appreciate it. God bless.
We want to let you know that we love you, even though you go to a government school. I couldn't resist. He set me up for that one. My heart is full. There's a lot I'd like to say. Time doesn't permit. And I just want to read a verse, and then we're going to close with Marty closing with some worship. And the Gospel of John, Jesus reveals to us there that he is the Good Shepherd. When he used those words, his original audience immediately realized that he was referring to Psalm 23, where it says, Jehovah is my shepherd. And in this text in John 10, Jesus said that the proof of the fact that he was the Good Shepherd was that he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. That was the proof. Not his claim, not his knowledge, not even his miracles. The proof that he was the Good Shepherd is that Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. And then the other beautiful thing that he says, 1, 2, 3, 4 times in John chapter 10, is that my sheep hear my voice. And that's what I'm hearing people say tonight. I heard the Lord's voice. I heard the Lord speak to me. Some of you who've been in a Christian home, been sitting in church, but heard the Lord speak for the first time in your life. And I believe that there may be others in this room, Christian home, Christian church, yet have not yet heard the voice of the Lord speak. Jesus calls each one of his sheep by name, and they know him. You've heard many, many times, if you've been raised in a Christian home, it's about having a relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ really does mean you hear him. You hear him now. You know him. He is real. You can know him in a personal way as well as you know a friend, a parent, that well. Indeed, I think even better. Because when you accept him, he comes and dwells in your heart through his Holy Spirit. So, Some of you may have gone to camp and left not hearing that voice. There are some here that could not go, did not even want to go. That's okay. And you've not heard his voice. My encouragement to you is to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Because the scripture says that those who seek him shall find him. Those who seek him shall find him. Don't ever rest. Don't ever rest in a profession of faith. Don't ever rest in being baptized. Don't ever rest in being raised in a Christian home. Do not rest in any of these things. You must know that you know the Son of God. You must know that you have heard his voice. You must know that you have eternal life dwelling in you. And once you know, nothing will ever be able to shake your faith. The assaults will come. The enemy will come. But you stand. You stay close to him. And you will know the one you've trusted. Let's stand together and pray. Dear Lord, I pray, first of all, Lord, a prayer of gratitude, and we thank you for the great work you are doing in the lives of so many people here at Liberty. We thank you for the testimonies we've heard tonight. We just thank you, Lord, that you are still continuing to call people into your sheepfold, even in our very midst. We thank you so much. And Lord, I also pray now for those here who may still not know, those that have perhaps prayed a prayer, maybe walked the aisle, I don't know their story, but they don't have any assurance that they know you. They don't have any assurance that eternal life truly dwells in their heart. Lord, I ask that you would call them. And I ask that you would speak to them clearly and powerfully so they would have no doubt that they have been called out of darkness into light. Call your sheep by name that we might be one fold in you. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Let's sing Knowing You.
Knowing you.